Hello again, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you and thank you for joining in today. We're going to have a Bible study today or a lesson today from the Word of God. And I know that's the reason that the whole reason that you're joining into this is because you want to honor the Lord and you want to learn His Word and what it says. And I thank you for doing that, and so does the Lord. You might not think so, but the Lord does notice whenever you honor His Word and when you put forth the effort to know more about His Word, He notices. God notices some things, and He rewards them. And I'm sure that you can testify to that. But I can. I know the difference in my life personally when I'm in the Word of God and when I'm not in the Word of God. I don't know how anybody can really go. Once you get to studying God's Word, you have to have a regular diet of it. And it makes a difference in your thinking. It makes a difference in your reactions. It makes a difference in how you get through the day. I mean, God's Word comforts us. So it liveth and abideth forever, the Bible says. It lives because it is the Word of God. So, getting into our study today, we're going to continue in our study of the life, the study of life, and particularly life eternal. We began that a lesson or two ago, and we're going to continue in that today. So far, we have talked about life eternal. We've talked about how the Bible defines life eternal. We've talked about Jesus Christ's relation to life life eternal, remember? And also, we talked about the means of securing life eternal. Does the Bible tell us how to secure life eternal? Yes, it does. And we went over that. You should have the scriptures to it. And I'm hoping that you're not, that you are. Whenever you have time and that you're getting into your Bibles and that you are looking over those scriptures again, it would do you good to read them over again before we have our next lesson and keep your mind fresh on what we're studying. And it'll kind of just flow along with you. But today we're going to go back into our study of life eternal. And we're going to talk about the present aspect of life, life eternal for Christians. The present aspect of life eternal for Christians, particularly Christians. Well, first of all, they believe on the Son. Christians believe on the Son of God. They believe on Jesus Christ and that He is the Son of God, the Messiah that was prophesied to come into the world, and believe that He came and that He went to the cross and He died and He was buried and He resurrected the third day and ascended back to the Father. Christians believe on the Son. Well, listen what the Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse 18 and also in verse 36. And then we'll skip over to chapter 6 and verse 40. But here's what it says. It says, "He that believeth on the Son is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." What a magnificent promise from the Lord. You ought to claim that and underline that verse and just highlight it or whatever and claim that verse and memorize it and let that become part of your heart. The Lord promised that that if we believed on Him, believed on the Son, that a present aspect in a Christian's life concerning life eternal right now is that we believe on the Son. We believe on the Son and we have everlasting life. The Bible says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. What else? Well, another present aspect that's present right this very minute of life eternal for a Christian is that they have assurance of life eternal. We not only believe on the Son, and a lot of people misinterpret what the Bible's talking about when it says the word hope. When the Bible talks about hope, a Christian's not talking about that he hopes that something is going to happen as if he's not sure about it. But our hope is a secured hope. It's our hope that we're looking forward to, not that we're hoping is going to come to pass. It's our hope that we're looking to, our blessed hope. It's something that we already know and already possess. But a Christian, concerning life eternal, present aspect is that they have assurance of life eternal. Listen to what the Bible says. John chapter 5 and verse 24, the Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And then it says over in chapter 17 in verse 24, Father, now you know what chapter 17 in John is the Lord praying for us. They say that a lot of people will tell you that that Psalm 23 is the Lord's prayer, and that is not true. It is indeed a prayer, but it's for the Jews. And it's for Jude, the Lord teaching the Jews what to pray. Our Lord's Prayer is over in John chapter 17. That's where the Lord is actually praying for us and tells us and talks to the Father for us, the Lord's Prayer. He says, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. That's Jesus asking the Father and requesting that everybody that believes on him from the time that he was speaking this to the time that we're talking right now, everybody that's been born again and that has believed on the Son, the Lord was praying. He said, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. The Lord not only prayed for himself and prayed for us, but he, one of the things that he prayed for, brothers and sisters, is he asked the Father that we could be with him. And don't you know that the Father's already answered that, and that he is, that's coming to pass. It already is, and it's already settled. The Lord says we have assurance of life eternal, and that we are not there yet, but physically, but we are there as far as our status. Our status is that we are born again and we're on our way to be with the Lord Jesus Christ like he requested there. But he prayed for us. He prayed for us to be with him. A present aspect for Christians concerning life eternal is that they believe on the Son. They have assurance of life eternal. Now, what we're talking about is life. Life is the subject that we're talking about and trying to find out what the Bible says about life. The world, they won't admit it, but that's one of the biggest things that's on the back burner of every mind of every person on this planet is how to get life eternal. Where am I going when I die? And I only have so much time to find that out because I know I'm going back to the grave and there ain't nothing I can do to stop that. So I've got to find out how to live forever. And nobody wants to die. That's part of the magnificence of life is that it puts a desire in you to continue to have it, to continue to be. Even people that destroy their own life, and I've worked with a lot of suicidal people, and even people that want to leave and want to kill themselves, they don't really want to die. They just don't want to live like they're living. They don't want life like it is. And Paul, that's really scriptural anyway, because Paul said that too. He said he had a desire to depart, and that's what he was talking about. He wanted to get out of that body and get on up there with the Lord and get that new body. But he said that the Lord would rather him stay in the body for our sake at the time that he was speaking. But the present aspect of life eternal for Christians is that they believe on the Son. That's what the bride of Christ, that's us. One of the things is that we believe on the Son. Another is that we have assurance of life eternal. You don't ever have to worry. If you've believed on the Son, you don't ever, ever have to worry, according to God's Word. Not what we think or what we might imagine or somebody else says or such and such preacher or scholar or professor said this, and that's how I know I'm going. I know I got eternal life and assurance of life eternal because that's what the Bible says. And you need to base everything that you believe on what the Scriptures say, because it's God's words. And God never lies. He won't ever lie to you. And that's why you want to base your future and base all of your hope and base life itself on the one that created life. What's another present aspect? Well, Christians have promise of life eternal. And Titus, listen to this, chapter 3, verse 7, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life, being justified by His grace. He did it all. He even gave us the faith to believe what His Word says on the Son and the name of the only begotten Son of God. We have a promise from the Lord that if we obey the Scriptures and believe on His Son, who we have never seen, and call upon His name, that the Lord would save us and He would give us a promise that we have life eternal. Not gonna have it, presently have it. Presently have it. And you can hope in that because that's what God's Word says. Another thing is that, also having a promise. Let me read you another scripture concerning having promise of life eternal is over in Hebrews and chapter 10, verse 23. The Bible says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised." He is faithful that promised. You see, the Lord's not going to let you down. The Lord's not going to let you down. Another present aspect of life for Christians now, right this minute, is that they have hope of life. We believe on the Son. We have assurance of life eternal. And I'm thankful for that, aren't you? I can wake up every day, no matter how bad or good my day is, and I know that I have an anchor, that I have the assurance of life eternal. I'm going on. I'm not scared to die. Only people that don't know where they're going are scared to die. I didn't say that I was concerned. I've never been. This is a place. I was talking to my dad one time about death, and he said, I said, "Death's not scary, Pop. The Bible tells us not to be scared of it. It said not to be scared of this body dying." And my dad says, "Well, I'm not scared of that. It's just going through something you've never been through before." and you know the anticipation of it and the just anxiety of it and wondering, you know. But we have the scriptures, and there's a lot of mystery today, and there's a lot of mystery of passing through from time into eternity and going to a perfect place and meeting our Lord and seeing Him. We know Him in our hearts. We speak with Him and talk with Him, and we have a relationship with Him by faith. But then we know that when we die, we're going to see Him like Job said. He said, I shall see God in my flesh. In my flesh I shall see God. And to just look on our Savior and behold Him, that's the same thing Moses said. He said that he exceedingly trembled and quaked before God. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be wonderful. Anytime you hear about any Christians being up in heaven and the Bible talking about being around the throne and being with the Lord and everything else, there's always some rejoicing and singing and praising God going on. And that's not just some kind of story or fable that's being told. That's some real stuff. That is some rejoicing. And you're talking about pure, genuine rejoicing with the purest heart and the purest mind that you could have, beyond what we could imagine, the Bible says. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath entered into the heart of man the things God hath prepared for them that love Him. We got lots to look forward to. Our present aspect concerning life eternal for Christians is that we believe on the Son, and don't you ever let anybody talk you out of that or to doubt it, or even if they mock it, just let it go in one ear and out the other. You believe what your Bible says about the Son of God, your Savior. And we have assurance of life eternal. We have promise of life eternal according to the Bible, and that's not all. We have hope of life eternal like we talked about a while ago, but it's not hope as if I hope that this is going to happen. It's hope that this is my expectation. I hope in the Lord and His words that He is not a liar and that He's going to bring all this to pass. Like the writer said, I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. And he's saying, when the day gets here, I know God's going to come through for me. I do too, don't you? I know the Lord's not going to let me down. There was a saying one time, or not a saying, but an example, where a preacher asked an old elderly saint, a widow woman, and said, Sister, I want to ask you something. And he was about a 20, just a young buck, you know, early, new preacher, you know, hadn't been preaching real long, but he was a preacher nevertheless. And he asked this old saint woman, he said, ma'am, he said, what if you live all your life and hope in the Bible and then you die and find out that God, lied to you? And she says, well, God doesn't lie. He won't never lie. He says, no, let's just imagine just a minute that He did. That you lived your entire life, and then when you went into eternity, you found out that God was a liar and that He put you in hell. She says, well, He'd have more to lose than I would. All I'd lose was my soul. He'd lose His good name. There's a lot to that. And you want to know something? The more that you know the Lord and you grow in the Lord as a Christian spiritually, and the more you find out about your Lord, the more you find out that He is a God of truth and that He takes His integrity and his dignity and his Godship, if you will, very seriously. God ain't going to change. God likes the way he is because he is right and he's righteous and he's holy. It's hard to explain the Lord. I mean, you can't put words. That's why so many writers in the scripture say that it can't be put in words. Because the Lord tried to explain himself and give Moses a name to go and tell Pharaoh who he was. And the Lord just said, just tell him, I am sent you. I am that I am. Sometimes it's hard for the Lord to communicate with us because the Lord really has to bring his holiness and his perfection and he has to bring it down to our level. And when he brings it down to my level, he's really doing something. But the present aspect of life eternal, we have such a wonderful Lord, is to believe on the Son and have assurance of life eternal. And the Christian concerning life eternal has a promise of life eternal. And they have hope. We have hope of life eternal. Not as if I might get it, but this is my hope that I ain't worrying about nothing because I have hope. Titus chapter 3 verse 7 says that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of life, of eternal life. According to the hope of eternal life. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, talking about the Old Testament and all the prophets, it was written for our learning. The Old Testament is very good for us learning. We learn things about our Lord and learn lots. The Old Testament, what I'm trying to say is the Old Testament is part of your Bible and it lives too. It's not dead like people say it is. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, like we're reading right now, might have hope. You see, that's how come I tell you how much I appreciate you doing these studies, because the more you do these studies and the more that you involve yourself in the Word of God and saturate your mind and your heart with the Word of God, your hope becomes stable or more, you become more dependent on your hope. You stick your neck out farther for the Lord. You depend on the Lord's hope and you know that, or the hope that the Lord has given you, and you trust in it. You trust in it. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And that's who we have dwelling in us, the third person of the Godhead. And the more we read of God's Word, the more God the Holy Ghost brings that to mind, and he establishes us as Christians and helps us to trust more in the presence of our hope while we're still in the body here. We have hope. Our present aspect is that we have hope. That's not all. We also are laying hold of life eternal. We're not only just sitting back and reading concerning the hope that we have, but we're actually doing something about it. We're starting to conform ourselves into eternal living. The only thing that's holding us back is that we're still in the body and the Lord hasn't let us, he hasn't come and gotten us yet, or we haven't left the body yet. We're just stuck in this body. But we're laying hold on eternal life, on life eternal. We're not living in this world, and we don't have the world's yoke on us anymore. The Lord's removed that, unless you've put it back on yourself. He's removed that and put Jesus' yoke on us. And we're in this world, but we're not of this world. And we're laying hold on life eternal. We're actually reaching out and pulling more in and becoming eternal, if you will. 1 Timothy chapter 6, the Bible says in verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. You see, this fight is not bad. This is a good fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. And the Bible says, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. We're not waiting. When the Lord saved us, we became eternal at that time. We have eternal life dwelling in us. We have the eternal God dwelling in us, and we're laying hold of it. The more we learn about the Lord, and the more we learn about what's in heaven, what's the purpose of this, just all of the truths of the Word of God, the more we learn, the more we lay hold on eternal life. That's not all. There's one more here as far as a present aspect of life eternal for Christians. You hate your life in this world. Now, there's a lot of people that would cringe at that. Because when they hear the word hate, it automatically throws switches and raises flags. But you know, the Bible is one of the biggest books of hate speech that there is, probably the biggest. That Bible is more negative. The Word of God is more negative, speaks more about negativity than it does positive. The Bible tells you what to do by telling you what not to do, negative. The Bible tells you, take the Ten Commandments by themselves. The majority of them are negative. Thou shalt not. Negative. You see, it's not God that teaches that negative is bad and that hate is bad. It's the world that teaches you that. You cannot properly and honestly and genuinely love the Lord and love the things of God and the things that are good without hating. The Bible says, ye that love the Lord, hate evil. You say you love the Lord? The Bible says that you hate evil. But that's a good kind of hate. Because the Bible also says, David said, I hate them that hate thee, Lord. I hate them with a perfect hatred. It's not like the hatred of the world. It's not like a malicious, nasty, ungodly hate. It's a holy hatred. It's a hatred for things that are against God and against His ways and the enemies of God. It's getting all the way on God's side. Not straddling the fence and love and hate, love and hate, love and hate. I'm all right, you're all right, everybody's all right. Da 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 da. It's not what the Bible says. The present aspect of Christians concerning life eternal is that they hate their life in this world. The more you take hold of eternal life, and the more that you read your Bible, and the more that you saturate yourself with the truths of the Word of God, the more it's going to show you what's wrong with this world. and what God says is true. And anybody that says that they love this life and love this world and I love this world, they're about as crazy as a nutty squirrel. If you don't think there's some problems and something's things in this world that need to be corrected that mankind cannot correct and a almighty God's going to have to take care of to clean up, and talk about peace, 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 when there is no peace. Ain't nobody figured out how to stop all the wars yet. There's always a war going on. How come nobody's figured that out in 2,000 years? How come nobody's cured cancer yet? How come nobody's figured out how for man to quit killing each other yet? How come nobody's figured that out yet? Because ain't nobody going to figure it out, because there ain't no peace. The only time it says there's going to be real peace is when the Prince of Peace gets here. And we live under His rules and live in righteousness, real righteousness. But as far as being in the body and being in this world and the life that we now, the temporal life, the terrestrial life that we live in the body, human life, that we live, the natural life that we're talking about before, as far as living in the body, you grow to hate it. That body starts getting old and wrinkled up and knees start hurting and shoulders start hurting and you start finding out. Why, you all you young bucks, you still got your energy and you're out there hanging on tree limbs and everything and falling down off two-story buildings and getting up and saying, I'm all right. Now, yeah, all that's going to come to an end for long. And you're going to start finding out what sin really does to these bodies and where these bodies are really headed. You're inside of that body. And you're not always going to be there. The Lord's got plans, and if He don't come, you're going to depart from that body one day and go be with the Lord. If He does come, your body's going to be changed into a perfect body. But as far as your life in this world, you ought to be able to look around you. If you have the mind of Christ in you and the Word of God is saturating your mind and you ain't on that television, stay off that television. Them newscasters are trying. That's why it's called programming. I mean, as much as you can. Because that ain't no different than what all the prisoners of war went through when they sit there and they played them played them recordings over and over and over and over and drove those people crazy. Because if you hear it enough, you're going to start believing it. And that's what that programming is on that one-eyed monster. They say it over and over and over and over and tell you what to think. If you don't decide what you think and what you believe, somebody else is going to. The Word of God makes you free. It takes those yokes off of you. It tells you what to believe. And the closer you draw to the Lord and the more that you find out about His Word and you saturate your mind and your heart with His Word and the more you begin to be conformed into the image of Christ, you're going to hate your life in this world. Not hate it as in suicidal, drug, drunkened up stupor. Hate it as in, this is not my home. The Bible says in John chapter 12 and verse 25, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. That's not talking about that if you don't hate this life in this world that you're not saved. That's not what it's talking about. The Lord's talking about the difference in how you're going to live in the body and how you're going to... He that loveth his life shall lose it. Because you don't really have life, because this is temporal, you see. But the Lord said that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19, it says, if in this life only, listen to it, if in this life only We have hope in Christ. We are of all men most miserable. Now that's Paul talking, and he said in a nutshell, if this life in this body, on this planet, in this conditions, is all we got to look forward to having to do with Christ, we are some miserable folks. And he's right. Before you got saved and before the Lord gave you that hope, you was without God and miserable in this world, wasn't you? Of course you was. Of course you was. But the Bible says that the present aspect of life eternal for Christians is that they believe on the Son and they have assurance of salvation from the eternal Word of God. You see, we have a book. We have our God's book and His words. These other religions, they don't have their God's words. And the ones that they do have, they can't prove them. And they have no proof. We have proof in that our God lives. There was over 500 people seen Jesus Christ at once and gave record of it. And we have it written down. And these fellas tell us, I seen him and handled him and touched him with my own hands. These things have I written unto you that believe on the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. He said, these things have I written unto you. We have it in written form. And why anybody would not want to have it is beyond me, isn't it you? Well, let's talk about something else. Let's move on. Not only did we talk about the present aspect of life eternal for Christians, now let's talk about the future aspect of life eternal for Christians. We see how Christians are and what they have promise of and how their mind and their living on this earth is and how they're laying hold on eternal life and that they're growing to hate this life because it's temporal and it's wicked and it's the devil's domain and we're ready to get out of here. But the future aspect of life eternal, remember what we're talking about, life. But particularly right now, life eternal. The future aspect of life eternal for Christians. Well, first of all, they're going to inherit life eternal. The Bible promises us that we have an inheritance in the future that's going to be given to us. Listen what the Scripture says in Colossians chapter 3. The Bible says, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. If that's not a promise, I've never heard one. And it said, knowing. This is not something that we think or something that we hope is going to happen. This is something that the Bible says we can know. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. That's what the Bible says. You have an inheritance. Future aspect of life eternal for a Christian is that you have an inheritance. The Bible says in Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11 through 14. Listen to this. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. You have an inheritance. that's been promised to you. You don't yet have it. It's future. The future aspect of life eternal for Christians. You have a promise of an inheritance that you're going to receive. The Bible says in 1 Peter in chapter 1 and verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Did you ever hear that read like that? It's the same King James Bible since 1611 and prior to that. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 says, to an inheritance incorruptible. You can't make it go away. Undefiled. And that fadeth not away. Reserved in heaven for you. Why, you ought to be standing on your tiptoes going around in circles like a bunch of kids that just got promised to go to the fair or something. An inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that faded not away, reserved in heaven for you. We have future aspect of life eternal. Not only do we have it here, but our present aspect, but we have future. We have future promises. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15, and for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, talking about the Lord, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Because of what Jesus done and overcome the First Testament, which was the law, and the transgressions that the law held us to and held us bound, that they which are called, talking about the saved, might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. The Bible promises you an inheritance. Isn't that wonderful? The future aspect of life eternal for Christians. Not only shall they inherit eternal life, life eternal, and an inheritance that fadeth not away and is incorruptible and undefiled, but also they shall live life eternal in a new world to come. Have you ever thought about that? You know, there wasn't nothing but science fiction and Mad Magazine and all that kind of stuff that the world's got that talks about future stuff. I mean, they're firing billion-dollar rockets and men up into space to see what's out there. And they put satellites and big telescopes out there. And they're looking all around and everything else. And they're seeing stuff that they hadn't never seen before. But there ain't nothing they can do about it. Nothing. You can't even breathe up there. How you going to do anything? You have to be God to be able to be beyond where a human being can live. But they just won't believe, will they? But the Bible promises the Christian that the future aspect of life eternal for him is that he shall live life eternal in a new world to come. Listen what the Bible says. In Luke chapter 18 and verse 28, the Bible says, then Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. Jesus said with his own mouth that there's a new world to come. A new earth, a new heaven, and a new earth, the Bible says. And that's not the first time that the earth has been redone and been a new earth. We read back in the scriptures, we find out that this place has been, the Lord's had to take care of business on a global scale several times. And it's not old business for the Lord to say that he's going to burn this one and we're going to have a new world to come. Why, that new Jerusalem that the Bible's talking about, where we're going to live, where our homes are going to be, the Jews are going to live down here on earth, and they're going to have the land that God promised them. We're going to live in New Jerusalem. And have you ever read what that place is like in Revelation and the scale of that thing? And what the, gold is the most valuable thing on earth that man says is most valuable. The Bible talks about it, and the Lord talks about it, and the kings in the scriptures, the King David gathered up so much gold for his sons, King Solomon, and King Solomon built the Lord's temple, and that thing had gold, gold, gold in it. You know what the Lord thinks of gold in the New Jerusalem? He paves the streets with it. You walk on it. And he says it's so pure that it's translucent. I guess you can see through it. I don't know. They say that when gold is at its purest that you can see through it. I don't know. But I know what the Bible says, and it's true. He said the foundation is 12 precious stones thick. That the gates, the 12 gates that go through there, are made of one gigantic pearl each. Just try to imagine that part of it. And the Lord said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And the Bible says that he's going to prepare mansions. It's going to be something. The future aspect of life eternal. Remember what we're talking about? Life. So let's stop right there for a minute. What is life? But the future aspect of life, eternal, for Christians, they shall inherit eternal life and shall live life eternal in a new world to come. And that's not all. They shall rejoice in God's written word that revealed the incarnate living word, who is life eternal. Let me say that again. They shall rejoice in God's written word, like you ought to be doing now. Rejoice in God's written word that revealed the incarnate living word, which was Jesus Christ in the flesh. God in the flesh is Jesus Christ, who is life eternal. John chapter 5, the Bible says in John chapter 5, verse 39, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. That's the Lord Jesus Christ talking. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 14, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 6:63 says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. Well, this thing is getting tough, ain't it? About this study of life. Jesus is life. The Father is life. The Word of God is life. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. Proverbs 13:13 says, whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed. But he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Now, over in Romans, in chapter 10, and verse 17, we read that on our last one concerning life natural. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you cannot get your faith without the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing. You hear something. And hearing, what do you hear? By the word of God. The Bible says it liveth and abideth forever. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Got life mixed in there with all of that. What is life? We're getting closer, ain't we? We're getting closer. We've seen life in life natural. We see life in life eternal. But what is life? 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, the Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. It don't get no simpler than that or plainer than that. A 5-year-old could understand that. You read that verse to them and say, okay, show me the word of God. The Bible says, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. You're holding it in your lap. Do you think God would, for 1 second, try to trick you about his word? That would be a nasty game to play on your creation, wouldn't it? To tell you to trust in his words, to read them, to trust in them, don't change them, don't add anything and don't take anything away from them. Trust in my words because my words are eternal and they are spirit and they are truth. And then turn around and play games with you about his word and try to confuse you about his word. God would not do that, and he will not do it, and he does not do it. But it is present, and it is done by others. Anybody that tries to corrupt that Bible from you, and take that Bible from you, and correct that Bible from you, and to tell you this is right and this is wrong, like they know more than God that wrote his own word, get away from them, and don't listen to them. Anybody that comes into your life trying to be smarter than the Lord, that is the author of your Bible, the author of Scripture, that tries to be smarter than God in your ears and in your heart, get away from them. They're trouble. God would not do that to you. He is not the author of confusion. And we're not confused about what the Lord's taught us today, are we? Life eternal and all the promises, the present aspect of the Christian for life eternal, believing on the Son, having assurance of life eternal and the promise of life eternal, having hope of life eternal, and we lay and hold on it day by day, and growing to hate this life down here because we're learning the difference of what life eternal is about. And it's nothing like being down here. And then we talked about the future aspect of life eternal for Christians, that we're going to, that we have an inheritance, that we're going to inherit life eternal. You're not going to have to worry about dying. Death hath no more dominion over you. Jesus defeated death, and he has the keys to death. Death has to come through him to get you. and it's not going to happen. The Lord's going to destroy death. That's the last enemy that the Lord's going to destroy, is death. Death is going to end up non-existent when this is all over with. So we shall inherit life eternal. We shall live life eternal in a new world to come. So you don't have to put all your stakes and all your stake everything that you have on this life, because it's temporal. And your Bible teaches you that, and you need to believe that and trust in that. And when you make decisions and when you decide this and decide that, you decide it under the conditions of it's all going to burn. It'll help you make better decisions if you trust your God's words when you make decisions here. And we're going to rejoice in God's written word that revealed the incarnate living word, Jesus Christ, to us, who is life eternal, the Bible says. And we're going to reap life. The Bible says that we're going to reap life. Listen to what Galatians chapter 8 says. Or not chapter 8, chapter 6, verse 8. The Bible says, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall also of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit," talking about God the Holy Ghost, God the Holy Spirit, "but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." You're going to receive your reward, and you're going to be glad that you sacrificed. And if need be, the Lord says, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So just expect it. You're going to suffer for the Lord's sake. And after we've suffered a while, he established, strengthened, and settled you. And then you give up down here, and the Lord is going to reward you, and the things that he's going to give you are going to be eternal. You cannot lose them. Ever. And all that and everything, all the inheritance and everything that goes along with heaven that the Lord has told us, and he says, "I ain't told you everything because you couldn't handle it. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath entered in the heart of man the things God hath prepared for them." God's not told us half of it, because we couldn't handle it with these little pea brains. We're human. But with all that we have to look forward to, you need to live in this body, in this life, in this world, in the natural life, with the hope and the intentions and the expectation of the hope that we have in life eternal. Okay? And a little saying there, it says, Lord Byron, on his 33rd birthday, he wrote a little, poem or whatever you call it. It says, "On life's road so dim and dirty, I have dragged to 33. What have these years left for me? Nothing except 33. That's it. Life eternal. So we've talked about life eternal, we've talked about life natural, and that's in our study of life. And we're finding out what the Bible says about life. Our next program, we're going to get into another portion of study concerning life, and it's going to be life spiritual. Life spiritual. What does the Bible say about life spiritual? So let me give you these scriptures for today, and we go ahead and close out today's study and look forward to getting into some more of finding out what our God's Word says about life. Okay, here they are. John chapter 3, verse 18 and verse 36, and then also chapter 6 and verse 40. That's John 3, 18 and 36, and chapter 6, verse 40. Okay, John chapter 5, verse 24, and chapter 17, verse 24. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Titus chapter 3, verse 7. Romans chapter 12, verse 12, and chapter 15, verse 4 and 13. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12 and 19. John chapter 12, verse 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 24. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 through 14. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15. Luke chapter 18, verse 28 through 30. John chapter 5, verse 39. John chapter 6, verse 63. John chapter 1, verse 14. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 13. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 and 25. And the last one for today in our study of life eternal is Galatians chapter 6, verse 8 and 9. Well, I thank you so much, and the Lord bless you so much for honoring His Word, and especially with bearing with me. But isn't it wonderful to study God's Word? I mean, there's nothing else that can replace the Lord's Word. And especially whenever we the Lord starts to saturate us with it and to make it part of you. And this is how you do it. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God. It says, now you're clean through the words which I have spoken unto you. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And that's what we study, and we honor God's Word. And you're going to notice a difference in God's blessings in your life for you disciplining yourself before the Lord and sacrificing to the Lord and studying. Amen? Well, thank you so much. And I enjoy your company, and I enjoy studying with you. And I pray you've been blessed just as much as I have, if not more. Next, we'll get into life spiritual. Life spiritual and what the Bible says about that, okay? It's Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Bye-bye.